in light of what's been happening this week, I didn't sleep well, and I'm sure a lot of you didn't, kind of had some grumblings in your heart and in your spirit with what's all going on in our communities and across our city and in the nation. And I thought about, you know, changing the message up, but then I kept looking at the message and kept looking at the series, and I said, I don't think there's any need to change it, because this is really what we need to be doing as a church, is that we need to continue to do exactly what God told us to do, and that is to go into all the world, right, and reach men and women for the gospel. That means that barriers have to be broken down. That means you have to get out of your comfort zone. That means you have to go across the street, go across the highway, and if need be, brother, go across the waters to reach other people who do not look like you. And so I said, I think we're right, we're good where we're at. And I think also one of the things that came to my mind was that I know there are pastors who are telling their congregation to go out and meet someone or communicate with someone that doesn't quite look like you, who may not have the kind of wallet like you, or who didn't have the kind of training that you had. But you know what? It's kind of easy to do that here in this church. And so you really don't have to go very far. All you have to do is just turn around and look at someone and say, hey man, look, I need to get with you. I need to talk with you. I need to have a conversation. My heart is heavy. And would you be willing to listen to me? So I think this morning, Mosaic, I think we're good. But we need to have this continued dialogue, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the small groups that we have coming up. So this morning we're going to be talking about continuing our series. It's called Discipleship. Last week we started our first message. This morning we're going to be talking about, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for these young people here this morning from kids across America, Father, and more particularly, Lord, Higher Ground Leadership Camp. And Father, we just pray your blessing over them and the leaders that are here with them this morning, Brother Crawford and Sister Brannon and Brother Monday, and Father, the other counselors and leaders that are here that are representing that great camp. And we thank you so much for their participation this morning. And it's just so refreshing to see young people who want to be out front for the right reason. So Father, I pray your blessing over them, and I thank you for our church, and I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Father, you know what our country is going through. You know that we are hurting right now. But Father, you know exactly what we need to do. We don't need to change gears. We don't need to shift anything around. We need to continue to do exactly what you called this church to do, and that is to be involved in the ministry of racial reconciliation. And I'm so grateful from the very first Bible study that we held in our home that, Father, that's what it was all about. To be intentional. To reach other people who do not look like us, talk like us, act like us. So Father, help us as a church to focus on this message right now. Help us to open up our hearts and receive what you have to say. In Jesus' name, the whole church said, amen. Amen. Well, so what is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? What are we supposed to be doing? According to Matthew chapter 28, we are to make disciples. And so this morning we want to look at a passage of scripture that is very, very powerful, that's very, very familiar, and it's found in Matthew chapter 4. It's on the screen, and this is what Jesus was doing when Jesus started to put his team of people together that would take over the world, that would impact the world, that would make a difference, that would bring other people into the fold. Here's what Jesus said. He was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were what? They were fishermen. Here's what he said. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The Bible says that they immediately left their nets, and they followed him. So here's the proof text that we're going to use as a church when we try to figure out, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Now, you can look in the Bible and you can find other texts, But this text is very profound, very simple. We can easily remember this because when you are coming together as a team, and I hope that the Chiefs can do that this season, because when you're coming together as a team, special teams, defense, offense, all need to be, listen, on the same page. Everybody needs to know what the play is. And so here's what we got to do as a church. We all need to know what we're talking about when we say, what is a disciple? So this morning, I want to simply just kind of use this verse, Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 19. We're simply just going to take that verse and unpack it. And this is going to be our verse as a church when we start talking about what a disciple is. Now, you remember from last week, we looked at, you can leave that right there. But remember last week, what we did is we talked about when Jesus was talking to some of his disciples and he was talking to them about following him. We talked about, now you can get it out of context and you can get very excited about following Jesus. So you can be what we call in Matthew chapter, go ahead and put that on the scripture, on the screen there. I think it's in Matthew chapter 8. Is that, yeah, Matthew chapter 8 on the next one? I think you're good. Yeah, there we go. We talked about you can either do what? You can be over-eager, right? A scribe came to Jesus and said to him, I will follow you. Listen, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, what? You remember what we talked about last week? You can be over-eager because Jesus said, look, the foxes have holes, right? Birds of the air have what? Nests, but the Son of Man don't have anywhere to lay his head. So you can be over-eager and say, well, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to go all out, not going to date nobody no more. Ain't going to kiss no women no more. I'm tired of smoking that crap. I ain't going to do this, and I'm not going to do this. Well, you shouldn't be smoking crap. But you start laying down this laundry list of what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. But that involves, and you'll see this a little bit later, that it involves the power of the Holy Spirit coming into your life, and Jesus is the one, and we'll talk about this, he is the one that does the changing. So you can come in the house, and you can be over-eager and promise your parents, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm not going to do, and then you can fall flat on your face, and you can also be under-eager. You can be lazy. You can sit back and always try to hide out from God and hide out from the people of God, and you can say, Jesus, somebody in my family died, as in this case, the disciple said to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, and it almost seemed very brutal, Jesus said, let the what? The dead do what? Bury the dead. Jesus wasn't trying to be disrespectful. He was saying, don't place anything in front of me. Don't put anything in front of me. I am the number one in your life. I am the priority. So a follower of Jesus simply does this. He counts the cost. Number two, a follower of Jesus is someone, listen to this, who is someone who serves others. He is someone who serves others. Look at John chapter 12, verse 26. He says, if anyone serves me, then let him do what? Let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be what? Also, if anyone serves me, him my Father will do what? He will honor. Now, here's what you got to understand, is that when a lot of people come to church, they have it mixed up. They think that the church is there to serve them. But it's actually the other way around. You come into the church so that you can serve God and serve what? Others. That's really what it's all about. Here's an interesting conversation. It won't be on the screen, but you can jot this down if you want to. It's found in Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Jesus is getting ready to tell his disciples that he's about to die. He's about to go to Jerusalem and give his life for the entire world. Now, if you had a friend who is dying with cancer and they're telling you they're about to leave the world, what would you say to them? Oh, man, you know what? Hey, sorry this happened. You know, we're gonna pray. No, here's what they said. Here's what his disciples, this is what James and John said. And they said, Jesus, we want you to do something for us. Now, he just told them that he's about to go and die for them and for the whole world. and here is what they're talking about. I want to know if, Marah, that you can place John on your right side and place me on the left side when you go to heaven. I'm like, wait a minute, how you, come on. So when you die, Jesus, I want to be on the left side and I want this disciple to be on, how insensitive is that? And so Jesus turns around and said, man, you don't even know what you're talking about. She said, that's not even mine to give you. He says, here's what I want you to know. Look at, he said in verse 38, you don't know what you're talking about. Then he goes on to say, he said, you know, there are people who lord themselves over other people. Have you ever had a boss who was just bossy? Any of y'all ever worked for McDonald's or, you know, you didn't work somewhere, but you had this one supervisor. He didn't just tell you what to do. He told you what to do. And he did it with an attitude, and he was mean towards you. And so what Jesus was saying, he said, look now, there are Jews who are in authority, and they are bossy. They lord it. He said, I don't want you to be like that. He says, I'm not like that. He says, my character is about serving other people. And that's how I want you to be. So when you come into the church, guess what? You are to be a servant of God and a servant of what? Others. Amen. Number three, a follower of Jesus is someone who keeps God's word in his heart. Look at John chapter 14, look at verse 23. The Bible says, if anyone does what? If he loves me, he will keep my word. And here's what you got to understand, and I've gotten way past this because my wife would say this all the time, and we would run into people because we do a lot of ministry, and we say this all the time now because we understand. Here's what you got to understand. Sinners sin. Amen? And so here's the deal. If you love God, then you will keep his word. If you do not love God, guess what? You will not keep his word. So it's not my job as a pastor to force you to keep God's word. But if you love God, then you will keep his word. It will be in your heart. And you can tell by watching a person for a while if they really are keeping God's word in their heart. Are you listening to me? And so it's not something you're going to jump up and down about, but it's simply something that what God said, that if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you will keep his word in your heart. He said it this way very plainly in John 14, 15. He says, if you do what? If you love me, you'll do what I say. Simple as that. Now, this next one is this. A follower of Jesus does not necessarily know the route or the destination. A follower of Jesus does not necessarily know the route or the destination. Here's what I'm saying now. I think I suffer from travel anxiety. In other words, here's what I'm saying, is that when we have to go somewhere, especially if we go overseas, I notice something that starts to happen inside of my heart. I get a little nervous. My family, they're down front, and they're saying, yeah, that's you. Because I don't want to be late. Because here's what I do, is I read the instructions, and when they say, you know, if you're going out of, you know, the country, you need to be at the airport, you know, like 2.5-3 hours. It's a code red. And so I take that literally, right? And I'm like, I need to be there. Now, my family, they're like, and then there's another mirror downstairs. I mean, I'm like, come on. And then there's a mirror in the car. And then there's a mirror in the pocketbook. Oh my God. I'm like, come on now, we gotta go. And so I'm like, I'm racing, I'm trying to get there. And so here's my point is this, is that if Jesus would have called my name in the morning and said, Michael, follow me. I know in my mind, this is how I think, I would have basically said this, where are we? All the men said that. Where are we going? Where do you live? What is your address? Because I need to put it in my GPS, because I do not want to get what, men? Lost. All the men, we do not want to get lost. You see, Jesus ended up, let me tell you something about Jesus now. He ended up in Jerusalem. He ended up on a hill called Golgotha. But it's interesting when you look at Jesus that he did not tell his disciples exactly where he was going until the very end of his life. And so they were always going around Jesus. In fact, Thomas said it this way in John chapter 14, verse 5. Here's what he said. It should be on the screen. Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we what know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am, Thomas, I am the way. Just follow me. You don't need to know. Follow me." That's interesting to me. Now look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me or follow me, here's what you need to do. Deny yourself, right? Take up your cross and do what? Follow me." Because here's what you don't understand. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen? We didn't know the tragedy that was going to happen this week. We didn't know. So those two young men that got killed, they didn't know. They wouldn't have gotten in the car. Those police officers probably would have took the day off if they knew that they were going to be sniped. You got to understand, you don't know how life is going to turn out. And life takes a turn. But here's what Jesus said. As you go, here's what's going to happen. You need to do what? Take up your cross. Deny yourself and follow after me. Your life will be a life of what? Suffering. As a Christian, I hate to give you that news, because when you turn on the TV, there's a lot of prosperity preachers telling you, man, life is going to be great. You're going to be rich. And then you see money hanging all around the pulpit and people throwing money and people stepping on money. Money coming to me. You're going to have cars. You're going to have houses. You're going to have land. Now, you may have houses. You may have land. There's nothing wrong with that. Here's what I'm trying to say. You will also go through a lot of suffering in your life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when he said, take up your cross, he was talking about something that the Jews knew about. You see, you got to understand, they knew what that cross meant. See, the vertical piece of the cross was already waiting at the place of execution on the hill. Jesus was talking about taking the horizontal piece of that cross and taking it through the streets of a condemned Roman criminal, where they would spit on you, and where they would shout you down, and then they would say despicable things to you, and then you would have to be stripped naked, hung up there on a cross, and you would die. The Jews knew exactly what he was talking about. Yet, they still followed him. Now, here's what he's doing. He's presenting this life to you, because here, I want to show you. Here's exactly what he's saying. You have two approaches to life. You can either do what? You can deny yourself on the screen, or you can live for yourself. You can take up your cross, or you can ignore the cross. You can follow Christ, or you can follow the world. You can lose your life for his sake, or you can do what? You can save your life for your own sake. You can forsake the world, or you can gain the world. You can keep your soul, or you can lose your soul. You can love people. You can choose to love people the way that they are. You don't have to understand people. You can love them, or you can hate people because they have a different skin color or they come from a different culture. It's your decision. You can share in his reward and his glory, or you can lose your reward and glory. So the question this morning is, are you following Christ? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you serving God today? Are you serving other people with your talents and your gifts and your abilities? Are you hiding his word in your heart as a disciple of Jesus Christ? More importantly than this, Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? So number one, a disciple is a person who follows Jesus Christ, and they are on a spiritual adventure. Number two, Jesus said, and I will do what? I will make you. The next five words, Jesus is talking about transformation. Now, here's my problem. This is how I used to think when I came into the church because I was so messed up. I used to think that I was going to have to make myself over. And I knew that was impossible. I thought I was going to have to stop learning how to curse. Do we have any curses out there today? Do we have anybody that's like, you know, you want to say the right thing, but it just comes upon you real quick, and you say, oh, I'm telling you, bleed on the black and woe and why? That was me. That was me. And so people would come to my door all the time trying to share the gospel with me, and I would say, man, you need to get the bleed on the black. And if I had something, I would have probably chased them, whatever. That was me. And so when I finally came to Christ, right? Then some of y'all know my story. I had a grudge problem. I would hold grudges. Lord ain't through with me yet. He's still working on me. Can I get a witness? Can I just be honest with you? And so I thought that I was going to have to remake Michael. And so that got me away from the church because then I didn't have a chance to hear the men talking about, man, yeah, I struggled with that too. Yeah, man, I struggled with that. Here's what I'm doing. I'm hiding God's word in my heart. And I'm praying, and I'm hanging around some good brothers, and they telling me what, you know, see, I didn't have that. And so, but you got to understand is that you don't remake yourself. God says, I will do what? I will make you. I will remake you. I will undo you, and I will remake you. Somebody say amen to that. Now, here's what I want to say this morning. There was a man by Naismith at the University of Kansas that created basketball. The University of Kansas is one of the best schools in all the world. University of Kansas basketball program is elite. It is the top. In fact, every time you turn on your TV during the finals, you're gonna see KU. Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU. I'm not trying to brag, but that's just the way it is. That's just how it is. And so being a Jayhawk, I like basketball. Being a Jayhawk, I would hang out all the time in Allen Fieldhouse, and now we would play pickup games. Now, being in that atmosphere, now here's what you got to understand. Is that when you watch a baller, right, they have certain gear on. Are you with me? They dress a certain way. They got a certain swagginess about them. They like, if you watch them real close, some of them are pigeon toe. Y'all athletes, they kind of like, you know, they kind of walk like, you know what I'm saying? They athletes. They don't trip over themselves. Well, I didn't see that. No, they're like, they got a swag about them. They cool. They're tall. They're strong. They're athletic. And if they're short, they fast. I mean, and so when you were trying to pick a basketball team, I was looking for guys like that. Be honest with you, I wasn't looking for someone who had Coke bottle glasses. Now, y'all, come on, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Are y'all with me? Well, why you say that? Because you can't see the goal. Let's get real. I'm talking about ones that are that thick. I ain't talking about, you know, prescription. I'm talking about, you know, and they got to wear a band around to keep it. I wasn't trying to do that. I wasn't trying to pick those. I was trying to pick the people that were going to help me win. I was trying to pick the people that I knew that had the gear. Here's what you got to understand. Is that Jesus does not pick you because you have it all together. Jesus does not pick you because you have the spiritual gear. He accepts you. He picks you just the way that you are. He does. He loves you just the way you are. He picks you just the way you are. But listen to this. Watch this. He does not affirm you just the way you are. He does not leave you in your sin and in your disgrace. He does not just say, you know, so if you walk into a gym, all right, And you got some fluffiness in your life. Are you with me? You got some flabbiness in your life. And when you wave to somebody, something else is waving down here. So when you go to the gym, listen to me, if you go to the gym and you start shelling out a lot of money for a trainer, right, you want that trainer to receive you just the way you are. But you don't want that trainer to affirm you in your fluffiness, in your flabbiness. You want that trainer to push you. You want that trainer to say, come on, man, give me another 100. You want that trainer to get you working. Why? Because you want to turn that beer belly, right, into a what? Six pack. Somebody say, six pack. God loves you just the way you are, but he does not affirm us in our sin. The disciples of Jesus Christ were selfish. They were rude. They were clueless. They were immature. But Jesus said this. Look, go to John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. He said this. He says, I am the what? The true vine. And my Father is the what? The gardener. He cuts off the fat. He cuts off. Listen, the branch of me that bears no fruit, and every branch that does bear fruit. In other words, if you got spiritual muscle that's doing okay, Jesus said, we can do better. I know you can do better. You've been praying every day, but Jesus says, I need you to go in a little deeper now. What about fasting? What about praying? What about visitation? What about just going all out for God? That's what he is after. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. He does not affirm as we are. Now, how do I get clean? How do I grow to be like that? How do I do that? I just want you to know I found a real good car wash in Liberty. It's called the Squeaky Clean Car Wash. You get your car squeaky clean. How many of y'all go there? There you go, bro. They do a good job for $12. You can get what they call the big cheese. Big cheese. I always get the big cheese because in this car wash, listen, for the big cheese, you can get a triple foam polish. It is another thing that is, if sprays on the bottom of your car, it's called a rust inhibitor. And then they will spray down low and it's called a wheel blast. Then they will, you know, and so you're in your car, you bring a dirty car in, you feel good because, you know, your car is getting clean and all this stuff is happening. And then they rinse it all off and then they blow it at the end. And so all you got to do when you get out is just dry it off and then you can do what? Lean. I don't know if y'all do this, but I still got a problem with this. If I'm in a clean car and I pull up to a real dirty car, I'm like, y'all gotta pray for me. Because I think that's called pride. But here's the thing, is that when you bring a dirty car in, see, because of the squeaky clean signature, I expect something to happen at the very end. So when I look at the car, now I'm expecting my car to be what? Squeaky clean. When you come into church, year after year after year, you should expect something to happen to you. Growth should happen. The old attitudes and things that you had in your mind, the things that you used to look at that weren't godly, right? The attitudes that you now have in your mind that were not godly, some of those things should be falling off and you should be becoming more and more and more clean. You should be becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now look at Romans chapter 2, and I don't know if I have that on there or not. The Bible says, are we with me? Romans chapter 2, is that there? It's not there. Here's what Romans chapter 2, oh yes it is there. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that's what I said. Do not be, my daughter is up there running the PowerPoint, and she's like, it's not there. You're right, baby, I got it. got it mixed up. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this: do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye what? Transformed. You see, that's what God is wanting from us. God wants us to change. You should not be the same way as a Christian that you were 5 years ago. In fact, you shouldn't be the same way last year. You should be changing. Amen. That's what God wants from us. Look at John 15:3. The Bible says you are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So this last situation here, here's what Jesus is saying. I will make you, number three, fishers of men. I want you to follow me. I want you to change. And then I'm giving you a mission. I'm giving you a mission because when you look at this world, it's very easy to see that we're broken. Would you agree? I mean, all you got to do is look at the videos and you can just tell, or watch the TV now today, and you can see that we are a broken people. And this is the reason why we don't have to deviate from this message, is because if we don't do this, it will get worse and worse and worse. It will continue to get worse. In fact, that's what the Bible says anyway. The things will get worse. The problem that I was thinking about, I was sharing with some of the people this morning, is that, see, here's what I'm thinking, is that we're going to have, like, world wars, and those things may come, but I'm not thinking that we're going to turn in on each other as a country and have like another civil war. And that's why it's so important for us to get outside of who we are. And I think that's why it's so important that the churches need to continue to reach everybody. We need to have a ministry of racial reconciliation. We need to be first reconciled who? To God. Right? And then we need to be reconciled to one another. We need to have honest conversation with one another. And this is what God tells us to do. Go out. Follow me first. Be changed in your heart. Continue to be changed. And then here's what I want you to do. Go out and reach other people. And here's what you got to understand. He didn't say black people. He didn't say just red people. He didn't just say blue people. He didn't just say white people. God is not a bigot. God said, go out and reach everybody for the kingdom of God. Every single person. And that's what we got to do. And it may require you getting out of yourself. Big deal. Can someone understand what I'm saying? We need to get out of ourselves and go reach people. Now, here's a passage of scripture that I think clearly paints this picture for us, and I'm just going to close with this. And if you want to come down front with me as we play our reflection song after I read this passage, you're willing to come down with me, because I think sometimes what we got to do is we got to rededicate our efforts to what God has called us to do. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians. It says this: he included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. That's everyone. A resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Verse 16. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. Sound like that's written exactly for today. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. As you know, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore, verse 17. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. He's created new. The old life is what? Gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. Next slide. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him. And then called us to settle our relationships with what? Each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world, listen to this, a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. Somebody say hallelujah to that. If your sins have been forgiven, you should say in your heart, I'm so thankful to God for forgiving me. of my sins. God has given us the task of telling everybody about what he is doing. Everybody. So don't you have a friend that doesn't know about Jesus? Do you have a parent? Do you have a cousin? Do you have someone around your street corner? Everybody needs to know about Jesus. We're Christ's representatives. You are Christ's ambassadors. You are. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and to enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Somebody say hallelujah to the Lamb. So this is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about when we say, when we're talking about being a disciple. And just go to the next slide. Here's what we're talking about. A disciple then is this, as we wrap this up and close. A disciple is a person who, number one, is following Christ. They're following Christ. Number two, he is being changed by Christ. And then number three, he is committed to the mission of Christ. Not your own mission, to his mission. Amen. Last verse, and this is our verse, and this is the verse that we want everybody to memorize, and just hide it in your heart. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, the area that that passage that really has been resonating in my heart is the area where I said I was challenged, is that he said, this is what Jesus says, and I will do what? And I will make you. Young people, listen to me. Jesus says, I will make you into the person that I want you to be. That is so freeing, is that you don't have to do it. All you got to do is just drive your car onto that track. Just place yourself before him, and he will do